Live from Charlotte, North Carolina, you're listening to the Bible Answer Man broadcast with Hank Hanegraaff, president of the Christian Research Institute. The reason the Bible Answer Man is on the air is to defend the Christian faith, proclaim the gospel of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, and to teach discipleship to his followers, because life and truth matter. To ask Hank your question, call in now, 888-ASK-HANK. That's 888-275-4265. For more information or to order resources, go online to equip.org. And now, here's your host, Hank Hanegraaff.
Thank you very much. Randy, when people face the compelling evidence that the universe began to exist at a definite point in time, a favorite fallback position is that it sprang into existence from nothing at all. But simple logic dictates that nothing comes from nothing. Why? Because nothing is non-existent and therefore lacks the power to do. Not only that, but something produced by nothing from nothing would logically have had to create itself. But if it created itself, it would have had to exist prior to its own creation, which means it must both exist and not exist at the same time and in the same way, an obvious contradiction and an utterly illogical conclusion. Because in order for something to exist without being the result of a prior cause, that something has to be eternal. And therefore, the universe did not emerge out of nothing, but it can exist as an effect of an uncaused eternal first cause, which is precisely what God is. But if God exists, who made God? This is a question that comes up over and over again. You probably, if you're listening this week, heard a 9-year-old ask me that question on the broadcast. But it's also a question posed by premier atheists like Richard Dawkins. And we have a book that is available all this month for your support of the ministry, Stealing from God, Why Atheists Need God to Make Their Case, which tackles all of these and many other issues, and I think most importantly, teaches you how to think, not just assimilate information and be able to spit it back, but to contemplate, to think. We live in a culture in which there's all too little contemplation. So books like Stealing from God captivate my interest because they're eminently readable, but in the end, you start learning how to think, and it becomes an aphrodisiac. It actually becomes very, very intoxicating. You start thinking, wow, this is fun. This is great. I can actually start thinking, and I was created to do that very thing by God. So this is a book that I think you will find to be a phenomenal read, a great resource. It is available for your support. You can find it on the web at equip.org or simply write me at Box 8500, Charlotte, North Carolina, zip code 28271. As always, resource consultants as well can be accessed when you dial 888-7000. And the letters, CRI. We'll go to your calls in just a few moments, but I want to spend some time talking to the author of Stealing from God, Frank Turek. Hi, Frank.
Hey, Hank. Thanks for being so lukewarm about the book, man. That was great.
Well, I mean, it really is intoxicating to think, and I suppose you more than anybody else know firsthand what I'm talking about because you spent a lot of time in college campuses, and we're finding more and more that students aren't taught how to think.
No, they're not. And I think, Hank, that I always say to students, half of what you need to know to be a Christian apologist is just to figure out how to apply the law of non-contradiction, to hear what somebody says and then see if that person meets his or her own standard by what they say. And I find, Hank, and I know you do this every day, so many atheists have self-defeating philosophies or self-defeating positions that if you could just point out to them that they don't even meet their own theories, they exempt themselves from their own theories, and their position is self-defeating. I know we've talked about it before, but For example, the atheists are always saying that we're the reasonable ones, and yet everything's made of molecules. Well, if everything's made of molecules, and their brains are merely made of molecules, and it doesn't give rise to a mind, every thought they have is the result of the laws of physics, then why should we believe anything that that atheist says or thinks? Because he is exempting himself here from his own theory. He says, everybody's a molecular machine except me. I'm not a molecular machine. What I say is really true. Everybody has a consciousness which is an illusion, as Daniel Dennett would say, except me, Daniel Dennett. My consciousness is not an illusion. What I really think about reality is true. So atheists exempt themselves from their own theory. So if we can just show people how to think about these issues, Hank, they're going to be halfway home to being an effective Christian apologist.
What happens when a student comes to grips with the fact that if they consistently buy into an atheistic worldview, then by virtue of that, they have no free will? Everything is fatalistically determined by brain chemistry and genetics.
It is, and that would mean that anything that they think about, including the thought that atheism's true or evolution's true or quantum vacuums brought us here or there's a multiverse, whatever counter explanation they have for God, they shouldn't even believe that. And Hank, I don't know, but it almost seems like many people out there are blind to this, because I'll explain it, you'll explain it, other Christian apologists will explain it, and yet they still persist in saying everything's made of molecules and we don't have free will.
You know, you have this, I think, dual dilemma today. You have a caricature of Christianity on the one hand, and then you have this blind acceptance of philosophical naturalism on the other, and that's a toxic mixture.
Yes, it is. It's a very toxic mixture. And for some reason, people can't see it. In fact, I remember hearing Jay Budziszewski about this, the brilliant UT Austin professor who is now a Christian but was once an atheist. And when he was asked, why didn't you recognize the self-defeating nature of your atheistic materialism, he said, it just never occurred to me. And people had explained it never occurred to me. There's a certain blindness that goes on with this, Hank. It may be part of Romans 1, when people descend into rejecting God, that they somehow are given into futile thinking, as Paul says, and maybe ultimately a depraved mind. I don't know, but I can't explain it naturally.
When you're talking about a book like Stealing from God, you're talking about a book that has real gravitas. Students have grown up with an airbrushed perspective on things like same-sex sexuality through movies, through TV, through fad magazines, and so forth. And therefore, the Christian worldview just seems untenable to them from the outset. So there has to be a way in which you right the ship.
Yeah, and in fact, that's one of the issues I briefly talk about in the chapter on morality and stealing from God, because the same atheists who say we're just molecular machines and there is no God are the same people who are saying they have a right to same-sex marriage. Wait a minute, a right? Where do rights come from if there is no God? If there is no God, there are no rights to anything. That's just your opinion. And your opinion, again, is the product of the laws of physics. So why should we even believe what you say about a right? So they're stealing from God here, Hank, in order to argue against him, or when they're arguing against him. So no matter what political aisle you're on, no matter what side of the political aisle you're on, you probably think certain things are right and other things are wrong. Well, if there is no God, there's nothing right or wrong with anything. Everything's merely a matter of human opinion. So if you want to say you have a certain right to something, you better believe in God. And you better have good evidence to say that God is on your side when it comes to these rights. And I think that when you look at the evidence, no, God wouldn't be on the side of same-sex marriage.
I struggle mightily to come up with titles for books that really capture the essence of the book. Talk about your title, Stealing from God.
Well, I just happened to notice that atheists, while they're saying there is no God, are using aspects of reality that would only exist if God existed, such as the laws of logic, they're immaterial, such as a standard of good or morality, which doesn't exist unless God exists. Yet atheists say, for example, there's too much evil in the world. But in order to say there's evil, there has to be good. And in order for there to be good, God must exist, because God's nature is the standard of objective goodness. So I just happened to notice that whenever atheists were complaining about God, They were stealing from his worldview in order to do so, and then just providentially, the acronym CRIMES came to me, and that's what the book is organized about, that atheists are actually committing intellectual crimes, and the each chapter deals with a different crime that they're committing. The C stands for causality, the R reason, the I information, the M morality, E evil, and S science. These are all things that atheists say somehow point away from God, yet none of these things would exist unless God existed. Causality, reason, information, morality, evil, or science.
And I think it's really important to take the information as you have and codify it around an acronym, because then you can go back and review the arguments in your own mind so that you ultimately own them.
Well, and I learned some of that from you, Hank, because you have so many great acronyms. That's the way that you can. In fact, I get this question all the time from people when they say, what are the hardest questions to answer? And I always say, it's not so much that the questions are hard to answer. It's just that they're hard to answer in 2 minutes, right? Especially if you're on a college campus or you're on the radio like you are, you got limited time. And acronyms really help you kind of have a template in your mind so you can hit the high points of an answer and then say, obviously, there's a lot I'm leaving out. There's more in the book that you can get, but here is the gist of the answer. In fact, I love what John Lennox says. He says, look, I don't have a complete answer for you, but I have a doorway to an answer. And an acronym can help you with a doorway to an answer.
You think about the ethos, the mores, the art, the language, the science, the jurisprudence, the civil liberties, and I suppose the list goes on from there, but they all come from a Christian influence in our culture, and yet atheists deny the very influences that have allowed them the freedom to prosper.
Yes. In fact, I always ask people, what worldview is the only worldview that will guarantee human rights and freedoms? It's not the Muslim worldview. They won't. It's not the Hindu worldview. They have a caste system. It's not the atheistic worldview, because there is no objective morality in an atheistic worldview. You just have to rely on the benevolence of the benevolent dictator, if there is such a one. And history shows that tends not to be the case. You look at Stalin, you look at Mao, you look at Pol Pot, all atheists. They murdered millions of people. It turns out that the only worldview, Hank, that will allow freedom and guarantee freedom, rights guaranteed by God, that come from the very nature of God, is the Judeo-Christian worldview.
Talking to Frank Turek, the book Stealing from God, Why Atheists Need God to Make Their Case. And one of the letters in the acronym CRIMES, the second letter REASON, is very, very significant. You touched on it, Frank. Elaborate just a little more.
Sure. Atheists say they're the reasonable ones. Yet I think they make reason impossible by their atheistic materialism. They claim to be free thinkers, but there is no free and there is no thinking going on if materialistic atheism is true, because we're just moist robots. And yet they try and make all these cases. In fact, let me just mention one thing quickly. You know how, Hank, they always say, well, neuroscience has disproven that there's a real mind, that there's a correlation between our thoughts and brain activity, so that shows materialism is true. And my question for people who say this is, who is running the experiment and gathering and interpreting the data? If it's just a brain, and that brain is completely governed by the laws of physics, and there is no mind, then how can we rely on any of these materialistic experiments or these neuroscience experiments? In order to prove that materialism is true, you have to assume it's not true. In other words, you have to assume that the experimenter has a mind and not just a brain.
And obviously the mind is not identical to the material brain. The subjective texture of our conscious mental experiences is different from anything that is purely physical. The book is a fantastic read, available for your gift to the ongoing work of the Christian Research Institute, the Bible Answer Man broadcast. Our outreaches around the world, you can access the book in a safe, secure fashion on the web at equip.org, or write me at Box 8500, Charlotte, North Carolina, zip code 28271. And as always, resource consultant standing by, 888-7000. And the letters CRI. Frank, thank you so much for not only the book, but your contributions on the broadcast.
Hank, it's my pleasure. Keep doing what you're doing, brother. I'll look forward to talking with you again next week.
Same here. Yeah, again, stealing from God, available for your gift. And we need many people to support this ministry this month. We are behind as we were last month, and only you can help us, by the grace of God, catch up. We thank those who pray for this ministry, support this ministry financially. Again, the best way to support this ministry financially is through the web. It's a safe, secure way in which you can give. And for those who transition from being occasional givers to being regular monthly givers in the CRI support team as a member, in appreciation of your support, you'll receive one of my books personalized to you, a family member or a friend. It's as easy as going to equip.org/donate. When we come back from the break, we'll go right to your calls right here on the Bible Answer Man broadcast. The number to dial is always 888-ASK-HANK. Numerically, 888-275-4265. We'll be back in just a few moments, so please don't touch that dial.
Multitudes of students are leaving the church as the result of arguments against Christianity from atheist college professors. Yet atheist arguments against God are faulty. Moreover, the feel-good emotionalism offered in most church youth groups leaves students unprepared to give a reason for why they believe what they believe. One of the ways CRI is seeking to reverse this tragic situation is by offering the latest book by Frank Turek, Stealing from God: Why Atheists Need God to Make Their Case. To receive your copy of Stealing from God as our thanks for your gift, simply call 888-7000-CRI and make a gift to support CRI's life-changing outreaches. 888-7000-CRI or visit equip.org. Equip.org. Don't tune out. Hank will be back in a moment. Take the Bible Answer Man broadcast wherever you go, on your phone or handheld device, with the Equip app, free from the Christian Research Institute. The Equip app is available for Apple as well as Android devices, so you can listen to the broadcast live each day or listen to archived programs at your convenience. You can also listen to 3-minute Ask Hank features and read well-researched, trustworthy articles that will help you defend the faith and grow in your walk with Christ. With the Equip app, free from the Christian Research Institute, you'll have the answers you need right at your fingertips wherever you go. So go to equip.org and download the Equip app for your phone or handheld device today. Again, that's equip.org. The Equip app is compatible with iPhone, iPad, iPod Touch, and Android devices. A young Christian woman goes off to college with a vision to win her campus for the Lord, only to call home at the end of the quarter to say, "Dad, I don't believe in God anymore." This scenario is becoming all too common. But according to Frank Turek, it's not so much that Christian minds are lost at college, it's that Christian minds rarely get to college. The key to reversing this mass exodus of youth from the church is in preparing them with good reasons to believe. That's why CRI is offering the book, Stealing from God: Why Atheists Need God to Make Their Case. Receive your copy of Frank Turek's Stealing from God as our thank you for your gift. Simply call 888-7000-CRI and make a gift to support CRI's life-changing outreaches. 888-7000-CRI or visit equip.org. That's equip.org. Did you know less than 1% of the leaders of house churches in China have any seminary training? And only 2% would even qualify for seminary given education levels and income. To help remedy this situation, CRI has set in motion a 10-year Going Global initiative to provide resources on apologetics, biblical literacy, and countering cults in Mandarin and Spanish. Your prayers and support are vital to fulfilling CRI's Going Global initiative. Toward that end, we are offering the book Pray for the World, which provides well-researched information on what God is doing throughout the world and will help direct our prayers for the global church. To To receive your copy of Pray for the World as our thanks for your gift in support of CRI's Going Global initiative, simply call 888-7000-CRI, 888-7000-CRI, or visit equip.org. We're losing our young people to atheism and materialism by the millions. The great tragedy is not that we're fighting these battles and losing to superior arguments or worldviews. Our superior arguments are simply unknown by far too many Christians. To help remedy this problem, CRI is offering Frank Turek's fascinating book, Stealing from God: Why Atheists Need God to Make Their Case. Receive your copy of Stealing from God as our thank you for your gift by calling 888-7000-CRI and make a gift to support CRI's life-changing outreaches. 888-7000-CRI or visit equip.org. Equip.org. Once again, here's Hank Hanegraaff.
Thank you, Randy, and we'll go right back to our phone callers. Next up is Bill. He's listening in Ohio, Sirius XM 131. Hi, Bill.
Hello. Thanks for taking my call.
You're welcome.
Well, first of all, I'm going to say I can't say that I agree with you 100% all of the time, but I do recognize that you've studied this more than I have, so I do respect your opinion, and I have learned quite a bit listening to you. My question, well, let me lead up to that. I was reading an article on Yahoo about, I think the article was like seven facts about Jesus, and I don't know why I read these articles, because they're always full of garbage and misinformation, but just out of curiosity, I read them anyway. And this one, in that respect, did not disappoint. but I was reading the comments that was at the bottom of the article, and one in particular caught my eye. It was a pretty long post with the author of it giving his view of Jesus, which does not conform to biblical reality, whatever. But he did use some biblical passages to make his point, including like Psalm 1 or Psalm 91, and I think Hebrews 7. But the one that really caught my attention was Isaiah 53:10, in which he used to confirm that Jesus had children. And there's a line in Isaiah 53:10 that says his offspring. My main question, I know that Isaiah 53 is a prophecy of Christ, and the chapter is known as the suffering servant. I've heard that Jews don't believe that that chapter is a prophecy of Christ, and that it actually relates to it's pointing to the nation of Israel. Somehow, I don't see how that works. My question is, who exactly was Isaiah talking about in that chapter?
Sure.
And how do you address chapter 10, passage in chapter 10?
Yeah, you know what's really interesting is if you look at Isaiah, you will find more than one typological prophecy. And what you're discussing here with respect to the suffering servant of God is a typological prophecy. Unfortunately, some people believe in double fulfillment. Some people believe that these prophecies are only fulfilled in the immediate context. So, for example, if you look at Isaiah chapter 7, the virgin will be with child. If you read Isaiah in context, you see the fulfillment of Isaiah 7 in Isaiah chapter 8. But Matthew says that Isaiah 7 is fulfilled in Jesus Christ. But Matthew is speaking about a typological fulfillment. So you have to understand the difference between predictive prophecy and typological prophecy. And I think that principle applies to the passage that you're talking to. So I encourage you to read Isaiah 52 through Isaiah 53 in toto, and then go back and read Isaiah 40 through 55 as a whole to see that there's a logical progression of thought concerning the identity of the servant. So if you read in chapter 49, you'll see the servant is Israel. In chapter 50, the servant appears to be the individual prophet. In chapter 49 again, the servant is to bring the knowledge of Israel's God to the nations. And yet, in the passage that you specifically underscore, Isaiah 53, the servant suffers and dies vicariously for the sins of the world, but is ultimately vindicated and exalted. So what's going on? Again, what's going on is typological prophecy. Isaiah is not speaking of any one individual, but the ideal of the servant of the Lord. And that ideal might have its fulfillment corporately in Israel or individually in people like you and me, but the ultimate, the complete fulfillment is in Christ himself. Not everyone who might be legitimately called a servant of the Lord fulfills every aspect of the prophecies. Only Messiah does that. So what's going on here is what we call typological prophecy. And to help you understand that more ably, there's a section in my book, Has God Spoken, which specifically and directly deals with typological prophecy. Good question. Let's go back to the phone lines. We'll talk next to David. He's listening in Columbia, South Carolina on the web. Hi, David.
Hi, Hank. Thanks for taking my call.
You're welcome.
My question is, when we look at the Old Testament, what is it exactly that still applies today and does not apply today, and why is that?
Well, you have to look at the laws of the Old Testament not as a monolith, but as multifaceted. So laws have different application. Laws can reveal sin. Laws can maintain order in society. Laws can be a guide for the believer in living out the Christian life. The three broad aspects of the law that you see in the Old Testament are the civil aspect, the ceremonial aspect, and the moral aspect of the law. Now, the civil aspect of the law was largely a function of a theocracy. The ceremonial aspect of the law was largely fulfilled in Christ. Now, when I say it's fulfilled in Christ, then the ultimate takeaway from that is that the law has become abrogated. So, for example, Jesus says it's not what goes into a man's mouth and out through his body that defiles him. It is that which proceeds from the heart. Moreover, if you look at the fact that the temple, priest, and sacrifice are fulfilled in Jesus Christ, obviously the laws concerning temple, priest, and sacrifice have been abrogated. If you read the book of Hebrews, even going back to those laws is tantamount to trampling upon the sacred blood of Jesus Christ. But the moral aspects of the law, such as the Ten Commandments, are efficacious for us today, particularly the fourth commandment, in that it is in Christ that we ultimately have our Sabbath rest, and that becomes the apex then of the Ten Commandments. But all of the commandments are efficacious for us, not only in living out the Christian life, but also in the proper ordering of a society. So laws have different purposes, and that has to be taken into account.
Okay. And how would we know, I'm trying to think of how to phrase this, how would we know the purpose of each one scripturally? Are there places, are there any places in Scripture where I could look up and see, okay, this would fall under this, so I know that this no longer applies?
Sure. Yeah, and that's what I was alluding to earlier. So, for example, if you would go back to temple, priest, and sacrifice, then you would be doing something that is abhorrent from a biblical worldview, because Christ has replaced temple, priest, and sacrifice as the ultimate sacrificial lamb. I gave you another example with respect to eating food that is considered ceremonially unclean. Well, that law has been abrogated. Jesus Christ himself tells us. So what we do is we leave the magnifying glass, as it were, in the hands of the New Testament writers. They shine the magnifying glass on the Old Testament laws and teach us which laws apply and which laws do not apply. Obviously, if you look at the Ten Commandments, thou shalt not murder, thou shalt not steal, it doesn't take a budding theologue to know that those are universal principles, not abrogated in any time or any context.
Right. Okay. Thank you so much.
Hey, you got it. Appreciate your call. And, you know, there's a good section on this in my book, Has God Spoken? One of the things I do in that book is not only demonstrate that the Bible is a reliable authority, it's divine as opposed to merely human in origin, but I also teach people in the second part of the book how to rightly apply Scripture. In other words, how to read it rightly or how to mine it properly. Because one of the problems we have today is we have professors and pundits and punmeisters, even presidents that look at the Bible and they say, you got to kind of pick and choose. There's some good stuff in the Bible, but there's some really bad stuff in the Bible as well. Our present president has made no bones about that whatsoever. In his book, Audacity of Hope, he's pointed out that there are laws that are absolutely abhorrent. The Bible, he says, teaches slavery. The Bible teaches you to stone your child if your child strays away from the faith. The Bible teaches you that eating shellfish is an abomination. He talks about the Sermon on the Mount. It simply could not be applied justly or rightly in a modern civilization. All of that, though, begs the question, has he learned the basics of how to read the Bible in the sense in which it's intended? Which in a broader sense points to learning how to read anything in the sense in which it's intended. It goes back to sort of what I was talking to in the earlier segment with Frank about. I mean, the fact of the matter is people can spit out information today, but oftentimes they can't think critically. They haven't learned to think critically. They have degrees, they've risen to lofty echelons of power, but have not learned to think critically. All the objections raised by President Obama, by Bill Maher, by so many others who criticize the Bible, Richard Dawkins, and the list goes on, are answered in Has God Spoken? I take the objection. Some of them are objections you hear over and over again. And I teach you how to read the Bible rightly. And the light bulb goes on and you go, wow, the Bible really is a legitimate authority. Has God Spoken? Again, available to the Ministry of the Christian Research Institute, always for your support. You can access your copy on the web at equip.org, or just talk to one of our resource consultants at number 888-7000 and the letters CRI. We are coming to station break. We'll be back on the other side of the break with more answers to your questions right here on the Bible Answer Man broadcast.
Richard Dawkins admits that the amount of information in a one-celled organism, such as an amoeba, has as much information in its DNA as 1,000 Encyclopedia Britannicas. Now, believing that 1,000 encyclopedias came into existence without any intelligent intervention is like believing that an entire bookstore resulted from an explosion in a printing shop. Many more reasons to believe can be found in Frank Turek's latest book, Stealing from God: Why Atheists Need God to Make Their Case. To receive your copy of Stealing from God, as our thanks for your gift, simply call 888-7000-CRI
and make a gift to support CRI's life-changing outreaches. 888-7000-CRI or visit equip.org. Equip.org. Stay with us. Hank Hanegraaff will return right after the break. Multitudes of Christian brothers and sisters in the Global South urgently need basic materials to ground their faith. That's why CRI has embarked on a 10-year strategy called Going Global. This initiative will provide resources on apologetics, biblical literacy, and countering cults in Mandarin and Spanish, two of the world's largest mega languages. Since prayer is the fuel of global missions, we are offering the book Pray for the World, which provides well-researched information on what God in Christ is doing in countries throughout the world to help direct our prayers for the global church. Hank Hanegraaff and CRI will be using this vital resource to pray strategically for our Going Global initiative. To receive your copy of Pray for the World as our thank you for your gift, simply call 888-7000-CRI or visit equip.org. Equip.org. Many parents and churches emphasize emotion and ignore the biblical commands to develop the mind, which means that most kids skip off to college equipped with little more than feel-good emotionalism, writes Frank Turek in his latest book, Stealing from God, Why Atheists Need God to Make Their Case. If bands, pizza, and Pepsi could equip church youth with the intellectual firepower to defend Christianity, we wouldn't have so many kids fleeing the church. To equip young people in the defense of the faith and help reverse their mass exodus from the church, read Stealing from God, Why Atheists Need God to Make Their Case. To receive your copy of Stealing from God as our thanks for your gift, simply call 888-7000-CRI and make a gift to support CRI's life-changing outreaches. 888-7000-CRI or visit equip.org. That's equip.org. Take the Bible Answer Man broadcast wherever you go, on your phone or handheld device, with the Equip app free from the Christian Research Institute. The Equip app is available for Apple as well as Android devices, so you can listen to the broadcast live each day or listen to archived programs at your convenience. You can also listen to 3-Minute Ask Hank features and read well-researched, trustworthy articles that will help you defend the faith and grow in your walk with Christ. With the Equip app free from the Christian Research Institute, you'll have the answers you need right at your fingertips wherever you go. So go to equip.org and download the Equip app for your phone or handheld device today. Again, that's equip.org. The Equip app is compatible with iPhone, iPad, iPod Touch, and Android devices. In the current cosmic battle for the minds and souls of millions, too many Christians comport themselves as clueless babes in the woods, utterly ill-equipped to deal with the sinister assaults that are mounting on multiple fronts. The reality is, it's not too difficult to become equipped to present and defend the faith. And that's why CRI is offering Frank Turek's illuminating book, Stealing from God, Why Atheists Need God to Make Their Case. Receive your copy of Stealing from God as our thanks for your gift by calling 888-7000-CRI and make a gift to support CRI's life-changing outreaches. 888-7000-CRI. Or visit equip.org. Equip.org. And now here's CRI President Hank Hanegraaff.
Thank you very much, Randy. We'll go right back to our phone callers. Next up is Duane listening in Quincy, Massachusetts, Sirius XM 131. Hi, Duane.
Hi, Hank. Thanks for taking my call.
Pleasure.
With Halloween coming up,
yeah.
My question is it's related to celebrating Halloween. As Christians, when I was growing up, my mom, initially we did, she's not from this country, but we started, and then she heard a program, maybe such as this one, where she found out that, that it was of the occult and everything like that. And so what was seemingly innocuous with costumes and stuff like that became, you know, something that was, demonized. And I lived that way. Like now, like, I don't celebrate Halloween in general. My answer usually Halloween parties for work is I'm a Christian or I don't celebrate it. And, you know, if there's a raffle, I'll donate. But, I've been questioning in general if this is something that I've adopted without thinking about it critically. So I was wondering if you could tell me if there's an easy answer about Christians participating in Halloween celebrations, parties, trick-or-treating with kids, costumes, that kind of thing.
Yeah, well, you're a wise man. You're thinking about this critically, and I think that's exactly what we ought to do. We ought to get the facts and think about what are the facts. And we can learn a lot in this regard from how the early Christian church responded to Halloween. October 31st, the eve prior to All Saints' Day, was designated as a spiritually edifying holiday, or more specifically, Holy Day. It was a holy day on which to proclaim the supremacy of the gospel over the superstition of ghosts, and therefore All Hallows' Eve, from which the word Halloween, of course, is derived, was an attempt on the part of the Christian church to overwhelm the tradition of ghouls with the truth of the gospel. So the trick is to treat Halloween as a strategic opportunity rather than a time of satanic oppression. The origins of Halloween are clearly pagan, and Halloween has devolved into rank paganism again. But what's beautiful is to see how the Christian church seized the day, seized the opportunity, using every opportunity to be an ambassador for Jesus Christ. So rather than simply throw up your hands and say, whoa, this is pagan and I don't want to be impacted by paganism, they recognize greater is he that is in us than he that is in the world. And I think this is one of the critical principles in spiritual warfare to recognize, that when Paul talks in the premier passage on spiritual warfare, Ephesians chapter 6, 10 through 20, he starts out by underscoring the power of God to protect as opposed to the power of Satan to pillage. And so what we are called as Christians to do is put on the full armor of God. Talk about dressing up for Halloween. Put on the full armor of God. And when you do, you're invincible in spiritual warfare, and you can use the opportunity as a place to be a witness in our culture.
Well, thank you very much, Hank, for that insightful answer. I appreciate your time and your help and your ministry, and I hope you have a good one.
Thanks, man. Appreciate your call. Go back to the phone lines. We'll talk to Sally next in Linden, Washington, listening on KARI. Hi, Sally.
Hi there, Hank. Hey, thank you ever so much for taking my call, and I just respect you so much, and I'm a regular prayer warrior for your ministry and a supporter financially, and just, oh, you're the highlight of my day. I'm home with disabled girls, and so I'm home a lot, and you're just a highlight when you come on.
Oh, bless you. Thank you so much,
anyway,
Sally.
I just am really struggling. I have two females that I'm really close to that they're sisters, and they were born with a genetic disorder. At birth, they almost died, and because of it, they had to be on hormones their whole life, and which resulted in they were obviously real manly, you know, throughout all their life. They're on prednisone and various medication, and they're both lesbian. One of them went out and actually blatantly went and got married even and had a ceremony, and they claim to be believers, and they go to church where, sad to say, the pastor is lesbian, which is so sad in our culture. And but they say it's just too hard the way they are to not be lesbian. And I just think, is the Lord, can they be believers? And is my first question. And another question is, if they are, will the Lord be a little more gracious to them, on Judgment Day, or what are your thoughts on this? I'm a little confused.
Well, I think first you have to not buy into the cultural narrative, which is that someone is a lesbian in the sense of that is their identity. Their identity in the Lord Jesus Christ is that of females. So what they're engaged in is a behavior, not an identity, but a behavior. And you need to get that straight, because otherwise you buy into the cultural narrative and you say, well, they're lesbian. No, they're not. They're women. And to take an identity and communicate, or take a behavior and communicate that as an identity, I think is a serious error. You know, the issue about how they explain this to you is worth noting as well. They say it's really, really hard, difficult, and so forth. Yes, it is. I mean, we deal with very hard, difficult things as human beings in general. You think about males lusting after females. That's hard. That is a temptation that you have to subject to the power and resources of God. You think of people having to manipulate their way through life as opposed to trusting the providence of God. Manipulation seems easier, but trusting the providence of God will get you further in a much safer fashion. So the point here is that if you live your life within the parameters that God sets forth for you to live within, then your lives are going to be full of joy and peace, though in the midst of difficulty. So Christianity is not promising anyone a peaceful way to come to terms with the maladies of life, but rather a way to overcome those maladies through the providence of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, who not only directs us in how to live, but actually comes to live within us. Now, there's a great thing going on here, and that is they're going to church. I mean, they have a spiritual thirst. But if you go to the wrong church, what happens is you get spiritual cyanide as watering as opposed to pure crystal water that really satisfies. And what I mean by that is if you really want to be a participant in the kingdom, you don't follow a particular preacher that rewrites the Bible or reads meanings into passages that the passages aren't intended to communicate. But you actually say, wow, I really love the Lord, and I want to know, I have his user's manual, I want to know what he says about how I live my life in the best possible way, the way that will be most satisfying in the end, though hard. And that, of course, is the Word of God. That takes the discipline of learning to read the Bible rightly, as well as recognizing that it is a reliable authority. And it's very, very tough today, because there are a lot of people telling you that the Bible is not a reliable authority. Not only that, on the other side of the coin, the culture through TV, through magazines, through movies, etc., has inoculated people against Christianity. They've shown airbrushed pictures of same-sex sexuality such that you think, whoa, I've seen this growing up for years and years and it all looks so wonderful. But everything that looks wonderful may not be so wonderful at all. I mean, it is that beautiful apple, but it's laced with cyanide, and you take a bite of it, and just a little taste can kill you. So what seems right is actually not right. It is a path that leads to death. And so I think that what you can do is communicate these kinds of things, first and foremost, that it's not a identity, it's a behavior. But you communicate those things as you have the opportunity, with gentleness and with respect, but recognizing there is no accounting for the human will. In other words, if someone will not, oftentimes it is not because they can't believe, it is because they won't believe, because what it takes to believe is an alteration of your lifestyle. And that's difficult for many people.
Yeah, especially in this situation when they were born with this genetic disease, you know. That's, now, do you think they honestly can be believers? You know, they...
Well, here's the thing, if you are genuinely a follower of Jesus Christ, then you want to invoke the principles and precepts that he sets forth for you to live within. So it's possible that they're misguided at first, but as you give yourself wholly over to Christ and you start to understand, wow, this is what Christ says about how I should live my life, then you can no longer say I'm a follower of Jesus Christ if you're following along in your own path. So you become the determiner of whether you really are a follower of Jesus Christ or only say you are a follower of Jesus Christ. Because Christ, for many people, is just a means to their own ends. So he isn't the end, he is a means to an end. And that, of course, is a very dangerous proposition.
Okay, Hank. Well, thank you so much. That clarifies things in my mind. I mean, I know where I stand with homosexuality and lesbian, but this is kind of a special case. And
it is, and I don't negate that, but that's why I spent the time talking about the fact that life is hard. It's hard in one way or another. Either
that's
we're born
so
with
true.
Yeah, it's just difficult, and that's why seeking to live the Christian life on our own is a prescription for disaster. We live the Christian life because of Christ, who becomes engrafted within us, and he lives his life through us.
Yes, okay. Thank you so much, Hank. I've tried to get through for a long time, so I really appreciate it. Thanks again for your ministry.
You got it. Thank you so much for calling, Sally, and for your support. Your prayers and finances really do make a difference. There's so many people hanging on. I was not going to do an extra hour today, but I think I probably should stay here for an extra hour. Once we go off the air, continue taking your calls. If you're hanging on, please be patient. If you're dialing in, the number to dial, 888-ASK-HANK, numerically 888-275-4265. You can dial that number for the next hour, 888-ASK-HANK. And, you know, Sally was just talking about supporting this ministry. We invite many others to do so as well. I can't do what I do without you. That's just the bottom line. So if you can give, it would be deeply appreciated, used for God's glory and for the extension of his kingdom. So long for now.
What if your best reasons to doubt God prove that he exists? Many atheistic arguments, instead of disproving God, reveal that he actually exists. Find out how in Frank Turek's recent book, Stealing from God, Why Atheists Need God to Make Their Case. In appreciation for your gift to support the Christian Research Institute's life-changing outreaches, Hank Hanegraaff would like to send you the book, Stealing from God. Just call 888-7000-CRI. That's 888-7000-CRI. You can also write CRI at Post Office Box 8500, Charlotte, North Carolina 28271, or simply visit online at equip.org. The Bible Answer Man broadcast is funded solely by listeners like you. We're on the air because life and truth matter. Did you know less than 1% of the leaders of house churches in China have any seminary training? And only 2% would even qualify for seminary given education levels and income. To help remedy this situation, CRI has set in motion a 10-year Going Global initiative to provide resources on apologetics, biblical literacy, and countering cults in Mandarin and Spanish. Your prayers and support are vital to fulfilling CRI's Going Global initiative. Toward that end, we are offering the book Pray for the World, which provides well-researched information on what God is doing throughout the world and will help direct our prayers for the global church. To receive your copy of Pray for the World as our thanks for your gift in support of CRI's Going Global initiative, simply call 888-7000-CRI, 888-7000-CRI, or visit equip.org. Take the Bible Answer Man broadcast wherever you go on your phone or handheld device with the Equip app free from the Christian Research Institute. The Equip app is available for Apple as well as Android devices, so you can listen to the broadcast live each day or listen to archived programs at your convenience.
You can also listen to 3-Minute Ask Hank features and read well-researched, trustworthy articles that will help you defend the faith and grow in your walk with Christ. With the Equip app, free from the Christian Research Institute, you'll have the answers you need right at your fingertips wherever you go. So go to equip.org and download the Equip app for your phone or handheld device today. Again, that's equip.org. The Equip app is compatible with iPhone, iPad, iPod Touch, and Android devices.